If you're just joining us, the Supreme Court decision today clears the way for expansion of legalized sports betting. Now, right now, we don't know what will happen in the future, whether Congress will get involved and there'll be some kind of federal sweep. We don't know. We'll see. But right now, it's a state issue. And obviously, New Jersey has been prepared and said they'll be up and running soon. Here's their statement, and I'll bring on their CEO. We're excited, not just for ourselves, but for this is from the William Hill, which runs the gambling in the state. We are excited, not just for ourselves, but for our fans across the country. We've been working towards this day for a long time, take great satisfaction in the Supreme Court decision, just as we have with our 100-plus locations in Nevada. We look forward to working to make legal and regulated sports betting a big winner for consumers, state governments, and all interested parties. If we do this the right way, the only losers will be the illegal bookmakers that have been operating a massive black market. We're getting ready to open for business at Monmouth Park as soon as responsibly possible. That's what the fans will want to know, that from Joe Asher, the CEO of William Hill U.S., and he joins us now. Joe, welcome to the program.
Great to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. One part of your statement, and this is not the most important one, but I take some I disagree with the idea of illegal bookmakers only from the idea of you not being able to offer credit and their ability to always offer credit, which is such a convenient and thing and something most gamblers are very used to. So that's a hard habit to break.
I totally agree with you. And I think that is going to be one of the big challenges as we move into a legal market is migrating people off the black market. Because people, you know, they have decades-long relationships with their illegal bookies. I mean, I remember when I was a kid growing up in Delaware, you know, my dad would go see Tony Frenakis, sure, the bookie, on 8th and Orange Street in Wilmington. So I totally get that, and that is one of the key issues is how do we migrate people from the black market.
I mean, these guys are not going to, like, throw in. How do you do that? How do you do that?
Well, look, I mean, these guys aren't going to, like, throw in a towel and give up.
Right.
But, you know, so here are the things that are important. Number one, it's imperative that states let the legal market operate in a way that we can compete with the black market. You really don't see, I live in Las Vegas, you really don't see much of a black market in Las Vegas because, number one, the tax rate that the legal market pays to operate is a very reasonable tax rate.
Okay,
number one. Number two, the regulation allows us to compete. And look, it gives the customers a fair shake. I mean, if a customer has got a beef with a decision, they can call the Gaming Control Board, and they really never even have to get to the Gaming Control Board because you never want to be known as the bookie who doesn't pay.
Gotcha.
So as long as the guy's not being totally unreasonable, you're going to pay him.
Right.
But there are those types of consumer protections that apply. You know, this whole thing, you know, I don't know, Mike, if you were following this, but the sports leagues have been trying to get an integrity
cap. Absolutely. Yeah, I've been following it closely. Yeah, and I know the leagues and what they're trying to do, and that is a big part of it, absolutely.
Yeah, and so, look, there's no basis for an integrity tax. I mean, I read a statement today. I haven't read the full thing yet, Mike, but Mark Cuban was saying, like, the biggest sports franchises are going to see their value double. Okay, so they're going to make a ton of money off of this without having to get their hands they become a tax collector.
That is a joke. That's their way of trying to make sure they ensure they get enough money out of the deal. That's all. It's just like, you know, as we know, they're going to want, everyone wants to put their hand in the till as deep as they possibly can. And you mentioned states first, Joe, and that's a big part of this. I know already people complaining about what some states have been talking about is what they would want. I mean, some states talking about 50%. I mean, that's, boy, oh, boy, it's going to be hard to do business with somebody who wants 50% of the action.
Well, look, I mean, Mike, so here's the deal, right? Pennsylvania, okay, not too far from, yep, from where most people are listening. At the state level, you have to pay $10 million up front,
right,
for the privilege of being 36% to the state and the local municipality.
$10 million for the license, and then 36% you got to pay them.
At the state and local level.
Right.
And then, you know, keep in mind there's a quarter-point federal excise tax, which,
right,
roughly is 5% of revenue.
Right.
So $10 million up front for the privilege of paying 41%.
Wow.
How in the world
it's tough.
Can a legal operator possibly compete with the black market in that scenario? I mean, you know, the bookies in Philly and Pittsburgh, they can say, you know what, Michael, we're going to give you a 25% rebate on all your losses. and they'll still have a massive advantage.
Absolutely. Hey, listen, this has killed horse racing, as you know. It's killed horse racing. I mean, the same thing. I mean, they've always wanted too big a piece of the pie. And, you know, that's what's – we all know it's the same thing. So from this standpoint, before we get to all that stuff, I wanted to get to the nuts and bolts for the guy who's saying, wow, I'm really into this. Tell me, first of all, how quickly do you really believe feasibly you can be up and running?
Yeah, so Mike, you know, as you know, we got like 107 locations here in Nevada, and about 5 years ago, we made a bet in New Jersey, and the bet was that one day sports betting is going to be legal at Monmouth Park. We didn't know when, but we spent some money, over $1 million at the time, built out a really nice sports bar with the idea that that would become the sports book. After the Supreme Court hearing in December, we started saying, okay, well, you know what? We got to put some more money into that, get it ready. And by the way, it's not big enough, so we built out an adjacent space right next to the sports book. And I encourage you to go down and take a look at it. You know, the racing season started. All your listeners can go check it out. So from an operational perspective, we actually could be up and going at Monmouth Park within a couple of weeks, right? We need to put the very last bit of equipment in. And obviously need to start staffing up, hiring people, training people. And then there's the legal side to it, which we, you know, frankly, I haven't had time to fully digest
right. The
Supreme Court's opinion yet. But we need to understand what is there the ability to begin operations before New Jersey has actually adopted another law and the regulations surrounding this. So from an operational perspective, we could be ready to go in a very short period of time, within a few weeks. The legal side, the regulatory side, we just need to have a little bit more time to think through and process to make sure, as we said in the statement, that we're doing it in a responsible way.
And how many – now, we're talking with Joe Escher, the CEO of William Hill. You have – you're licensed – you have an agreement with the state of New Jersey, right? Do you – will you have to deal with many competitors? Will it be an open market? Do you expect there to be numerous competitors competing for the same market? How do you see this unfolding quickly, or do you think it'll be very few operators?
Now, so our contract, to be clear, Mike, our contract is with Monmouth Park,
right.
Which...
So you're not licensed by the state yet. Yeah. So you have to be licensed by the state like everybody else then.
Yeah, we got to be licensed by the state.
So you expect there to be a lot of competition then, right?
We got to be licensed by the state. We applied and we got the transactional waiver from the Division of Gaming Enforcement. So we've been working with the DGE for a period of time.
You're ahead of the game, but you still have to be licensed by the state. And you would think there's going to be other competitors, right?
We're clearly there will be other competitors. We think we're in a good position vis-a-vis being licensed in the state.
Okay.
But you know, look, there's going to be a competitive market.
Gotcha.
There will be competition in the market, and we'll get our fair share. I mean, look, Mike, we operate in the most competitive gaming environment in the country out here in Las Vegas. Okay, we go toe to toe every day with the likes of Caesars and MGM and the Wynn and these tremendous properties, and we're number one in the market. Okay,
and how do you do that? What is your secret to do that?
Well, number one, we got the best people working with us. We put out a great product. We have a great mobile product that we offer. We offer in-play betting and by far the deepest amount of product that's offered. Over 25% of our bets are in-play.
Do you believe – now, you're talking about in-game.
Yeah,
I'm talking about betting after the game starts. Do you believe in-game will be legal from the start? Do you see any way in-game – because I've heard people say that the leagues are against in-game. Do you think in-game will be legal right from the start?
Well, I certainly hope it will. We'll see what the law and the regulation –
Now, for those who don't understand,
this
is a relatively new thing, and what I'm telling people is that you can – let me give people an idea who don't know. There's a point spread on an NFL game. Obviously, you know that they put up a halftime line. Now, every break, they put up a line based on how the game is going. So let's say someone opens up and scores 3 quick touchdowns. Now that team is minus 16 for this bet. That's only for that particular bet that's stamped at that particular time, and there's in-game betting throughout the entire game. That has become a very popular part of all sports wagering. It's very new, and it's become very, very fashionable.
And you know what, Mike? It's not only during the breaks. I mean, in play, it's throughout the game, and it's not limited to football. It's basketball, and you know the point spread and the money line.
Oh, you're talking about the one they do, the real quick one they do that keeps going throughout the whole game. Now, that one I think is going to be very hard to, you know, they have that one. That's your operation that does that in Jersey?
In Nevada, we
do. Well, who does it? Somebody does it in Jersey, too. Somebody has that going in Jersey right now. What is the name of them? Betfair? Is it Betfair that has it where you can do that in Jersey right now, I believe?
No, it's not legal to bet on sports. It's not legal to bet
on
sports.
Well, you can do it with Betfair has that action going, though, in horse racing where you can actually bet during the race. Right. So you could do the same thing, but my point is that one that goes constantly throughout the whole game, that will be a tricky one. Don't you think that will be a hard one to legislate?
No, because it's happening today, Mike. All you got to do, and this is what's the real interesting thing, and as states start to think about sports betting,
right?
They've been looking to Nevada because sports betting is legal. It's been legal in Nevada for longer than I've been alive, and you know the regulatory framework that you have in Nevada is a great place to start. And by the way, there's no integrity tax in Nevada. We're not obligated to buy the data from the sports leagues in Nevada, right? So there's no sort of direct cut of the action.
Correct.
In Nevada. But I do got to tell you one thing that does exist in Nevada. You're going to like this.
Go ahead.
So you know how the plaintiff in this litigation is the NCAA, right?
Right.
They're the ones who sued New Jersey, and Governor Christie fought it for so long, and Governor Murphy took the baton and got it to the finish line.
Right.
Guess who is a courtside sponsor of UNLV running Rebel basketball?
You are.
We are.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, hypocrisy is the NCAA's middle name, so you know that.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to comment on that, but I'll say it all day long.
Yeah.
You can say it all day long. But look, we pay a six-figure amount to UNLV, and we sponsor the Rebels, and we sponsor the basketball team and the football team.
Right.
And so, look, there's plenty of money in this for the sport for the sports leagues. They shouldn't just, there should be a quid pro quo in that transaction, right? Nobody should get anything.
So you think there should be the whole smorgasbord of wagering should be available to everybody right from the start?
Certainly the whole smorgasbord of wagering that as it exists in Nevada today,
right.
I would suggest is appropriate for wagering in other states.
Gotcha.
As well.
Okay.
Now, not everybody is going to do it the exact same way Nevada does it.
Right.
And that's okay. But, it's a good place to look to kind of get an idea of what's happening in this country already.
We're talking about Joseph Asher. He's the chief executive officer for William Hill, which is set up at Monmouth, and we await to see what happens with everything else. He's set up in Vegas already, so obviously he knows how things work, and he's obviously done it successfully there. Today we learn about this. Now, do you consider, since this is your business, the idea of Congress getting involved and passing federal legislation a big threat here?
A big threat, no. I just don't see what the point of it is at this point, Mike, because, look, the Supreme Court, I thought, their decision's pretty straightforward, right? This is up to the states to decide. And you know what? If New Jersey wants to have sports betting, they should have sports betting just like we have it out here in Las Vegas. And if Mississippi wants to have it, that's okay for Mississippi. And West Virginia wants to have it, that's okay. If Utah doesn't, well, that's okay too. You know some of our best sports books that we have out here in Nevada, Mike? Guess where they happen to be?
Where?
Right next to the Utah border. We got a great sports book in Wendover.
Makes sense.
It's on the Utah border.
Makes sense.
We got another great sports book in Mesquite, which is very close to the Utah border. And so, but you know what? If Utah does not want to legalize sports betting,
so
that's okay.
Right.
That's totally okay. But
so you think it should be state to state, and you're willing to go out? Would your company be looking to go state to state, or would you be picky about what states you were interested in?
No, we want to operate in any state where it's legal.
Gotcha.
We got the biggest market share here in Nevada because we've worked very hard for it. And we got the technology and the people that make that happen. But you know what? We got to earn our stripes every day. So, yes, there's going to be competition. There's going to be other operators in the market in New Jersey and elsewhere. And that's okay because ultimately that serves the consumer's interest. And we'll get our fair share. But the key thing is, it should be up to the states to decide. But they got to let the legal market compete with the bookies that we talked about at the start of the segment.
And also, you're ready at Monmouth. How long would it take you to get up as far as the online, the app and the mobile? How long would it take you to put that product together, or is it already there?
Well, it's the product we offer today in Nevada. So
you have it already ready. It's ready. It could be ready to go immediately.
It'll be ready to go, but, you know, look, we have to go through the regulatory process in New Jersey. We've got to submit it to the Division of Gaming Enforcement. They'll review it. Hopefully they'll come to the same conclusion that, you know, the Nevada Gaming Control Board has come to in terms of its suitability to be in the market. But, you know, technologically, this stuff is
online. How do you handle your clients, your customers? How much can they put on a credit card? What's the law?
Yeah, so credit card is an interesting question. So basically, for the ways you fund your account, historically here in Nevada, you really haven't been able to use credit cards because the major banks don't want to process sports betting transactions because of the federal law that applies and the interplay with the Wire Act.
Okay.
So the way we do it in Nevada, you can go into one of our sports books and deposit cash. You can go to the 7-Eleven and deposit cash. And you can use a prepaid card through a prepaid card.
So you haven't used credit cards. Is that what you would envision to be in the state, or do you think they would use credit cards?
Well, I think I'm hoping now that the Supreme Court has spoken so definitively on this issue that we might start to see the major banks begin to process. And, you know, look, I mean, you know, when you're dealing with credit cards, I don't know what you got in your wallet, but it's really, you know, four banks have the dominant share of the credit card market in this country. And so, you know, let's hope that the Supreme Court's loud and clear decision today allows for the major banks to start processing credit cards to make it, you know, more convenient for customers as we move to this cashless society. But look, one way or the other, I mean, you know, we'll work to allow people to be able to fund their accounts.
What is the total handle, Joe? Joe, what's the total handle in a year in Vegas? All the companies that handle wagering like you do, what's the total handle?
Across the state of Nevada, it's about $5 billion. My guess, Mike, for New Jersey is you would probably be looking at two times that. That's just a guess.
Based on population.
On population. And, you know, the other thing, too, Mike, and, you know, I grew up in Delaware, like I mentioned earlier, and grew up, you know, going to Atlantic City.
Right.
The sporting culture in New Jersey and New York and the tri-state area is really much more intense than in other parts of the country.
Right.
And so when you look at population and just that sporting culture, and I don't know if it's because you got these storied franchises in the region, if it's somehow weather related as well. You know, when it's cold during football season, people, you know, tend to spend more time inside as contrasted, you know, out here in the desert where, you know, the kids are playing soccer year round. But sporting culture and population, I'd make it at least two times Nevada, and you know, but that's a guess. I could be right.
Business, the tourist business in Vegas, will today's decision hurt the business in Vegas?
Nah, I don't see that. I mean, you know, that was the same concern that was expressed when other states started opening up casinos.
Right.
And Vegas has never been stronger.
Gotcha.
I mean, look, it's a unique experience.
No question. I just wondered what, you know, it's been a question a lot of people brought up. You're an expert on it. I just wondered, so you don't think it will at all?
Nah. Now, Vegas is a unique experience, and people will still want to come out to Nevada. They'll still want to come out to Vegas around the big tournaments. And really, you know, if you want to get a bet down today, you get your bet down already. It's just with your bookie. I mean, the number of people who are actually, like, flying from New York to Las Vegas for the specific purpose of making a sports bet is, I don't think it's that huge.
If I could give you New York, California, Florida, or Texas, which would be your state you take first in a draft?
Boy, oh, boy. You know, look, I'd want to operate in all of them, of course.
Of course, but which would be York, if I gave you one of the four to pick, which one would you take?
You said it was
New York, California, Florida, and Texas.
Oh, Florida and Texas. You know, look,
I gave you the two growing ones and the two big ones.
Yeah, look, New York is the state where, you know, there was some legislation passed previously. There's a bill floating around in Albany now. I actually testified in Albany a couple of months ago in front of a committee. So, you know, possibly There might be some movement in New York before those other states. And you know, they've each got, you know, various other political considerations.
My point was, which one has the most active gamblers, do you think, or which one's the best market, do you think, the most rabid market?
Geez. Hard to say. I mean, look, California is, you know, one of the biggest economies in the world.
It is, yeah.
From a population.
I figured you'd take California, but New York's pretty good, too, though. It wouldn't hurt you, that's for sure.
From a population perspective, you know, you got California, but there's other considerations in California. So, and look, I lived in New York City for many years, Mike, and, you know, I think I got a pretty good feel for New Yorkers and spent a lot of time traveling all across the state when I lived there. You know, New York's going to be a great market. Jersey's going to be a great market. I mean, these are big markets, a lot of people, and just a big sports betting culture.
All right, gut feeling. Will you be taking bets at Monmouth this summer?
I hope so.
What do you think? Gut feeling, yes or no? Gut. Can it happen that fast, or is it going to be too much red tape?
Oh, no, I think it's going to. Look, you know, I'm not going to pre-suggest what the legislature or the DGE might do, but I will say this, Mike. The taxpayers of New Jersey have spent 6 years and over $8 million in legal costs pushing this case forward through two administrations now. And, you know, I think that it's fair to say, you know, people are kind of, you know, ready to get to it after all this time. People are going to be responsible about it. We're going to be responsible about it. I know the DGE is going to be responsible about it. But we're very cognizant of the fact that, you know, today is the day, but this has been a long time coming.
Listen, thanks for a couple minutes. Good luck. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Joe Asher, the CEO of William Hill U.S., which is in charge of, they're in charge of the operation at Monmouth. They don't have a license like nor does anybody else yet in Jersey, but they're ready to go, and they could be ready by the 4th of July because they built it out and put some infrastructure in the racetrack and built the place there to, they took the chance that it would work, and so they put it in there, and they have a license to be in the racing emporium. They're there at Monmouth Racetrack. Now the question is, can they make a deal with the state and get up, and will the state be ready to go this summer? We'll wait and see.